I'm going to do a quick review on our class last week. I'm going to bring you all up to speed on where we are, but let's pray, shall we? I want to get started because I want to cover a lot of ground today. I expect miracles. I expect healing. I expect people to receive. I expect you to get this, and I expect changes for you in your life in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we come to you today in expectation, confident that your word works perfectly, wonderfully, powerfully in our lives and in our bodies. And we agree, Lord, to hear your word today, to hear clearly, and to receive and allow you to work in our hearts. So we just receive healing and we receive understanding on how to minister healing to somebody else. And Lord, we love you, and we commit this class time to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Do we have any testimonies? And I'm talking about healing testimonies. Do we have any healing testimonies right now?
God is healing my body. I know that I can't get too personal with gory details, but I've been really sick, and my body definitely wants to be healed. It's healing itself, and God is making a way for it. He's doing it.
Good. You're experiencing some changes?
Yes.
Since last week?
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yep.
Expect more. Yeah. All right, kiddo?
Thank you.
Expect more. Lord's not done, you know, in getting to you what he's already given you. And he's saying to you, I've already given you this. I'm just going to open your eyes to what you have, so you can receive it, all right?
Yeah.
And that's how this works.
I've been trying to get treatment for 20 years.
Well,
and
God's doing the treatment.
Yes.
Praise God. Praise God. I won't get into too much right now, but this is what this is all about. Healing class is all about, right? What this is learning how to receive healing that's already done. It is already finished. I can tell you that we still talk to people who are waiting for God to do something. He's already done. It's already finished. It's already given. It's already yours. It already belongs to you. It's your right. You'll own it. Unless you don't want to, or unless you don't believe it. But as soon as you believe it, boom, you see manifestation. All right? Now, I always expect healing. I'm like, come on. Let me at it. Let me at it. Let's see. Let's get going. All right? I expect healing. When I teach healing, when I minister to somebody, or for myself, I expect it. Always. Always. The word never fails. God never fails. Can't happen. Okay? All right. Praise God. So this class title is, and this is my last week in here, this class title is called Hard Ground. Hard Ground. This all comes out of Mark chapter 4, and Jesus told a parable about the sower who sowed seeds on different types of ground, which represented the hearts of people and what the hearts produced from the seed. The heart can squash the seed, kill the seed, choke the seed, or the heart can receive the seed and allow the seed to work. The seed is the word of God. Allow the seed to work and produce and overflowing results. Now, it's up to us, all right? So what this is called is hard ground because it has to do with in the areas that we've hardened our hearts. Now, anybody remember what a hardened heart is? Don't be too quick to raise your hands. What's a hardened heart? What is
cold,
it?
Cold and sensitive.
Cold and sensitive, all right? Richard?
Attitude.
Pardon?
A negative attitude.
Negative attitude, okay. Anything else? All right. Going once, going twice, going three times.
Ignoring God.
Say what?
Ignoring God.
Okay, ignoring God. Say this with me. I want you to close your eyes. Say it with me. Today, God has a word for me.
It's going into my heart,
and I hear.
And I hear
him.
I hear him
clearly.
I remember.
Because the word,
his word,
is getting engrafted permanently into my heart. And my heart is softening. And I remember. In Jesus' name. All right. A hardened heart. In the Greek, I'm going to combine the Greek and the Hebrew. A hardened heart is calloused. All right, let's go by definition. Calloused. You know what a callous is? It makes something or skin a lot less sensitive or insensitive to pain or to feeling. All right? Our heart can get calloused to the word, or it can get hardened, like hardened up like a diamond. In the Hebrew, Zechariah chapter 12, or 7, verse 12, says, they made their hearts like flint. They made their hearts as hard as a diamond when it came to receiving the word. So hardened or petrified, like a petrified tree. Anybody ever seen one? Nothing soft about a petrified tree, is there? Right? So a petrified tree cannot receive nourishment or nurturing or water. It's the same thing we do to our hearts. Or it can be blind. Now the meaning in the Hebrew and in the Greek typically together is a blinded heart, blinded to the word. You ever played Blind Man's Bluff or anything like that? You ever played any of those games? Maybe that's too old. You ever had anybody put a bandana over your eyes and try to find your way? You ever close your eyes and, okay, put your hand over your eyes. Do it right now. Put your hands over your eyes. Can you see anything? No. That's your heart. That's what happens when we harden our hearts. This is hard ground. So what we're doing today is I'm teaching and giving the word here because we're softening the ground. But first you have to understand that you and I harden our own hearts. We do this. Many times we do it in order to survive emotionally. God never built us to harden our hearts in a permanent way, ever. That was never meant to be a part of our lives. A hardened heart is at the root of doubt and unbelief. It's why we can't receive. Many, many times why we can't, here's the gift. Here, by grace, I've given this to you. Here's your salvation. All done. I did it on the cross. I bore your sicknesses. I took your pains. I did all of this for you. You don't have to do it. This belongs to you. Here you go. It's already done. Again. And what happens is we don't believe because our heart is hardened in some area. Now that's kind of a quick overview of what we covered last week. I do want you to understand that our hearts can be sensitive or softened to what the world says. Like all the news, the onslaught of this horrible news going on month after month after month after month of the crash and the chaos in our country. Our hearts can be sensitive to that and hardened towards the Word of God. Or our hearts can be hardened towards the world and what's going on and what's happening and what's being told to us, pumped into us from the world. Or we can be sensitive to the Word of God and we can start seeing the truth and start receiving. We have a choice. Do you understand what I'm saying? We have a choice. It's not God telling us. It's God saying, I have this for you. You have a choice to soften your heart and receive from me or harden against the Word. Now, that's kind of a definition, a quick definition, an overview of what a hardened heart is. We talked about identifying what a hardened heart is, and it's really when we struggle to understand and receive by faith God's grace, God's promises of healing. That's how this works. It's important to examine, and this is for all of us, where we are. Where are we in our relationship with Jesus Christ? That's going to help you determine where your heart is, whether it's hardened or whether it isn't. All right. How does a hardened heart get developed? I've got about 20 things 20 ways that a heart gets hardened, it gets developed. We develop this hardness. And we covered, we only got to one last week. Anybody remember what it was?
Legalism.
A performance mindset. A mindset that says, I've got to earn my healing. I've got to work for it. Even under grace, the grace doctrine, feeling, I've got to confess so many times a day. I've got to speak this confession, according to Mark 11, 22 through 24. I've got to understand what this is, and then I can apply it, and I can make this work. Oh, why am I not being healed? Well, you already are healed, number one. Number two, it's a gift. When we apply legalism in any way, performance orientation, or I've got to earn something, when we apply this in any way, what we're doing is we're building a works mentality in our heart, and what it creates is a failure. It's a failure type of thinking, because you'll never, ever, ever, ever measure up fully on your own to what Jesus did. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, what did I just say?
That's a failure mentality. If you're planning and thinking and, you know, like for me, trying to get this healing, that's been a big thing for me, because I feel like I have to do everything a certain way, and I'm getting ready to go to bed at night. Well, I got to start in the morning, so I have to do step one.
Okay.
I have to do things in order.
Okay.
I have to...
That is a legalistic or religious, excuse me for cutting you off, but I'm real conscious of the time today, but let me tell you what it is. It leads to failure thinking, because if you can't be perfect, and if you miss it, what happens is I can't do this, and your heart begins to harden.
The healing's not going to happen.
All we do is make it hard.
Yeah.
We make our heart hard, and it's the Lord's saying, relax, take a deep breath, and just receive from me. It's not based on you. Okay? So, legalistic and performance type operation leads to a hardened heart. Ronnie?
We will never be good enough. And if we look at ourselves to think, hey, I'm not good enough, we're not gonna receive. It's gonna be a hindrance.
We'll never be good enough. Yeah. We'll never be able to make it enough. Yeah. We'll never jump high enough. We'll never keep all the rules and regulations that we set, that God has not sent. Jesus has not set for us. He said, here's the gift. It comes with your salvation. That's it. Healing's yours. All right. That was the first one. Number two. What hardens our heart, how we develop a hardened heart, is living willfully in sin. Whoa! Living in sin. We hardly ever talk about sin. We know we're forgiven, right? That's a done deal. Jesus forgave us. He became sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we would be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, who believe him, who accept what he's done. Now, living in sin, I'm talking about willful sin. You're sinning, you're doing it, you know you're doing it. What is sin? Who's got a definition for sin? Y'all know what it is?
Anything that's not of faith.
Okay, anything not of faith. How do we break it down and bring it right down, boil it right down?
Gail. Falling
short of the glory of God. Okay, Romans 3:23. Yeah, what else?
Disobedience.
Disobedience to? It's good. This is where I'm going. You want to finish it? Okay. What else? Who else?
Doing things that are against the Word of God.
Doing things against the Word of God. Okay. Anything that we do that's contrary or against, willfully against righteousness. Now, righteousness is outlined in the Word. I'm not going to go there. Anything that we willfully do against righteousness. If I go out and I go out and I'm step outside the door and I murder somebody, That's unrighteousness, right? I've planned it out, I've thought it out, and I go ahead and do it. I do it because I want to do it. Now, that is willful sin. This is a bad example, but this is the closest what I can get right now. Now, what in order for me to do that, and I'm not going to go into all the details, in order for me to do that, I have to have developed a hardened heart and ignored the word of God and ignored righteousness, the knowledge of righteousness, and gone and done. Here's another one. If I go down the freeway and I start, the law says, the word says, obey the law. Obey the laws of the land. Obey the governing authorities over. They've set a speed limit on the freeway. The speed limit is 70. If I go 71, what am I doing? What?
Speeding.
And what else am I doing?
Breaking the law.
I'm breaking the law. And what else am I doing?
Sinning.
Sinning. Took a while to get there. Okay. And as I continue to go over the speed limit, oh, okay, the traffic's going this much. And, you know, it's okay, I'm late. And it's, you know, and I'm going, and so I bump it up another 5 miles an hour. Or the unwritten rule in Michigan is you can go up to 10 miles an hour over the speed limit and it's legal. Right?
Yay.
Y'all know that, right? I had to learn that here.
I thought it was 5 minutes.
So, if I do that, but all the time I'm doing it, am I still breaking the law?
Yes, sir.
Come on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
But what I've done is I've given myself the okay to break the law, to sin. And this is a real, because everybody does this, so this is a real easy one. This isn't to convict or condemn. But what happens is we start going a little faster, and we justify it, we go a little faster, we justify it, we go a little faster. Is it obeying the laws of the land? No. Of course not. And what happens is I go a little faster and a little faster, and I get used to it. I get used to it, and my heart gets hardened. This is how we harden our hearts, okay? This is a real clear example. Now, that is sin. Sin leads to more sin and reaps consequences which harden the heart. Consequences of speeding or a ticket, right? Or an accident. All right, the next thing that hardens hearts is condemnation. Condemnation. What is condemnation? Real quick, come on, all of you grace people. What is you don't get to answer these questions. What is condemnation, really? Let's go into Greek. What is the definition of condemnation? Romans 8, verse 2. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Does that make those of us that are born again breathe a sigh of relief?
Yes.
Well, it should.
Unless we're condemning ourselves. It comes from ourselves.
You're getting ahead of me here. What is condemnation?
Guilt.
Guilt. Okay. Shame. Honey?
An adverse sentence with a verdict of punishment to follow.
Penalty.
Penalty.
Condemnation is the penalty. There is, therefore, now no condemnation, no penalty for us. But if we live in condemnation and penalize ourselves for not performing or for being in sin or for some other reason because of my past, my life, the things that were done to me, then what happens is I'm living in condemnation and the atoning sacrifice of Jesus is not enough at that point, and I harden my heart. This is how this happens. Next one. Faulty doctrine. Everybody know what doctrine means? What does doctrine mean?
Teaching.
Pardon?
Teaching.
Teaching. Good. Faulty doctrine. What do I mean by that?
False beliefs.
Gail?
Teaching that doesn't line up with the actual truth of the Word of God.
Perfect. Teaching that does not actually line up with the truth of the Word. Let me give you a faulty doctrine. I'm waiting for God to heal me. faulty doctrine. God has already healed you. Jesus has already done it. I'm asking for God to continue to forgive me so I can continue to be saved. Faulty doctrine. I thought I had to get saved over and over and over and over and over again when I went to a non-denominational full gospel church. I was getting saved every week. Man, condemned and guilty. And every time I had even a thought, I'd lost my salvation. Faulty doctrine. Hardened my heart to receiving from God. Okay? Do you all want the scriptures for every one of these? Are you going to study this out? Do you want the scriptures? I'll give them to you. I'm not going to read the scriptures, but I'll give you the addresses. Do you want them?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. For legalism, it's Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For living in sin, all right, and hardening the heart through living in sin. Romans 6, verse 23. Regarding condemnation, hardening the heart. Romans 5, verse 18. Romans 5, verse 18. For faulty doctrine. Faulty doctrine is 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Okay. Faulty doctrine will harden your heart. We've had people come in here and tell us what they're learning at their church and saying, I just came to get the word and get healed. And the first thing that we have to do is wade through. We have to talk with them and wade through what they've been taught. Because a lot of times their hearts have been hardened to the truth of the word by what they've been taught. And if they will stick it out and hear the truth, they get healed. That's it. All right. The next one I want you to think about what develops a hardened heart is selective hearing. I don't know about the rest of you. You ever told somebody something? And I mean, you knew what you said. And they come back and tell you, that's not what you said. Nobody's ever experienced that but Johnny and I, right? I've had people tell me, I've given a message, and I've had people come back and tell me, you remember when you said this? And I say, I never said that. No, you said this. And I said, go listen to the podcast, because it's on recording. And they hear what was really said. Now, this is called selective hearing. Many times we have a filter in our heart where we hear. Remember, faith comes by hearing the word of God through the living word, through the spoken word, through the written word. But we hear what we want to hear many times. It's called selective hearing. We're not hearing correctly because our filter in our heart is plugged. It's hardened, all right? And that selective hearing continues to harden our hearts to the truth. So we've got to be open to hearing the truth. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Or excuse me, Mark chapter 4, verses 24 and 25, when Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, more will be given. You've got to be open to hearing. You've got to be teachable. You've got to be able to do this way. You've got to be open to hearing the word of truth. Or your heart will get hardened. All right. Next one that hardens a heart is the resistance to the word. Resistance to the word. Proverbs 23, verse 12. We can resist. We can say, yep, 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 that's the truth. And we can do it mentally. Yep, 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 that's the truth. Yep, I hear it. Yep, we can even have scriptures memorized. And yet it doesn't go below our neck into our heart. This is what happens. Because we're resistant. There's a number of reasons, I'm going to say emotionally and counseling-wise, that people resist the word. They resist the truth. And resistance to the word hardens our heart. Because it is the word, if we'll let the word into our heart and say, I'm okay with getting corrected or getting teaching or getting this understanding straightened out. I'm okay with this. I want this. many times we're resistant to that. And let me tell you what that is. That is pride. In 1 Peter, God says, Peter's quoting, but the Lord says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. All right? Pride will harden your heart. Anybody got a definition that will break pride down and show you what it is? Anybody? You all know what
pride... Yourself.
Pardon?
Serving yourself.
Serving yourself. Okay. Anything else? Anybody else understand what pride is? What is pride? Give me some feedback here. Come on. I want you to think. This whole class is about thinking. I want you to think so you get it. Richard.
Thinking highly of yourself.
Thinking highly of yourself. Actually, you're putting yourself on a pedestal. What you believe, what you think, what you feel, what you judge, what you determine, you're saying, I am high and lifted up. Now that's ugly. But what that does is, and it's a subtle thing. Pride is a really subtle thing. So many times we don't even know it's in us. The only way that we can get rid of pride is being open to the Word, not resisting the Word. Pride will cause us to resist the Word, resist the truth. That's a lot of what happens, okay? That will harden your heart. A number one is blaming others instead of taking responsibility. It's their fault. It's their fault. It's their fault. It's his fault, her fault. That's just psychology. Pop psychology says it's okay to blame somebody else for what you're doing, what you're causing. It's okay to do that. That is also a part of pride, not taking ownership of your life, your responsibilities. You're responsible to receive your healing. I can't receive your healing for you. You can. Don't resist the Word. Don't blame anybody else. Don't blame God. It's not God's fault. He's already given it. Don't blame somebody else. If your spouse or your family, you can't blame them. This is all on us. Okay? You're awful quiet today. I don't quite know what to do with you all. Should I keep talking? All right, the next thing that hardens your heart is what you put your mind on. If you're watching the news regularly, your heart is going to be hardened to the Word, all right? Your heart is bearing the hardness of what you feed on. I guarantee you, no matter what. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3. All right? Your life is a result of what you feed on. Your healing is a result of what you're feeding on predominantly. If you're feeding on something that is not bringing the understanding and the revelation of what God's grace has given to you through Jesus Christ in healing, then stop focusing on those other things and get into the truth of the Word. Bottom line. The next one that hardens our heart are idols in our life. 1 John 5:21. 1 John 5, verse 21. What is an idol? Give me some ideas of some idols. You have an idol in your life? Do we have idols? Richard, you're smiling. What's an idol? What is it?
Something you put ahead of God.
Something you put ahead of the Lord.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Watching too much TV.
Watching too much TV. If TV is more important to you than the Lord, it's an idol. What else? What are other idols? Give me some.
Kids.
Kids. Your kids can be an idol. Absolutely. What else?
Spouse.
Spouse can be an idol. What else?
Technology.
Pardon?
Technology.
Technology. Oh, that can be an idol. Absolutely. What else?
Work.
Motorcycle can be an idol.
Work
can be an idol. Pat.
An experience.
And experience can be an idol.
Food.
Food can be an idol. Come on. Come on, think. What else? We're brainstorming, okay? What else can be an idol? I want you to recognize these things.
Pets.
Say it again. You're going to have to speak up. I can't hear.
Your pets.
Pets. Pets, absolutely, your pets can be an idol. What else?
The church.
The church can be an idol.
Money.
Money. Money, 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 money.
Tradition.
Tradition.
My own thoughts.
My own thoughts, my own self can be an idol. My feelings can be an idol. Anything that we glorify, lift up, hold up, more important than the Lord becomes an idol. And guess what? It helps develop a hardened heart. All right, the next one is the type of thinking. I call this outcast mentality. Outcast. Have you all ever been, anybody ever had an experience, I've had this, being an outcast? I mean, not welcome, not valued, not counted, not in my family. I've been there. Anybody else? You ever had that? You don't have to raise your hands, but I want you to understand that this outcast thinking says that I am worthless, I am of no account, I am unloved, uncared about, I am not worthy. I am worthless. I'm not valued at all. It's an outcast mentality. That mentality, that's rejection issues, is really what makes that up and brings on. That is a heart hardener. Okay? That will develop a hardened heart. Ephesians 1, verses 5 and 6. Ephesians 1, verses 5 and 6 says, we're sons and daughters of God. Man, we are always welcome. Always. I mean, we're always a part. Always. All right, the next one. The next one that will harden our heart is when we are ruled. I mean ruled. You can call this an idol. By our five senses. What are our five senses? Need some feedback here. Gail.
Sight, hearing, touch, taste.
Smell,
thank you.
Sight, hearing, smell, touch.
Taste.
Taste. All right. When we are ruled by our senses or our emotions, okay, when they're overrunning us, and that's what we live by, choose to live by a lot of times, that will harden your heart, okay, towards healing. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. The next thing that will harden our heart is, or help develop a hardened heart is, now you're going to think this is really weird being in healing class, but when we don't want to get well. There are people who are struggling to get healing who internally don't want to get well. There's this battle. This is what confuses the heart. Okay, what we spoke about last week. Our heart gets confused because we want to be healed, but we don't want to be healed. We want to be healed, but we don't want to be healed. Why would somebody not want to be healed? What would be that battle in here? I want you to think about this for a minute. Because this is what hardens a heart. Let's be real. Gail.
Because they have to go back to work.
They'd have to go back to work. Get off the disability list.
Won't get sympathy anymore.
No sympathy. No attention. No value for being sick or disabled. What else? These are heart issues. Anything else?
Comfortable with it.
Comfortable. Fear of the unknown in being well. When Jesus spoke to the man at the pool of Bethesda, this is John 5, verses 1 through 15. He said, do you want to be well? And you know, you think about this and you go, are you kidding me? What are you doing here, Lord? There was a lot in that question. Do you want to be well? It means you leave behind everything you're gaining or think you're gaining from being sick. How about care? Somebody would just care for you. You don't have to do anything. And you're going to step into wholeness and healing. Is your heart hardened? to healing, even though you want it. But is your heart hardened to it?
So I want to take that. This kind of goes to the wrong teaching, but
is this a question?
No, it's a.
Tell me a question.
Huh?
Tell me if you got to make your point quick because I'm almost out of time.
Okay, 30 seconds. Okay. You broke my
train. And speak up.
So I don't know what it is.
Speak up, Reggie. You got it, man. The Holy Ghost is right there.
Okay, so one reason people oftentimes don't want to be healed is because they think they're serving a higher purpose in being sick, or they're doing what God wants them to do in being sick because God has put the sickness on them. So by wanting to be healed, they're violating what they've been taught.
True. That comes down to faulty doctrine,
yeah.
And maybe a need, you know, the internals of a need for attention or a need for care or a need to justify where I'm at right now. And because I really don't know how to receive from God, I want to be healed, but I see more value in this, my reasoning. So it goes on. Good. The next one is, and this is a big one, offense and judgment. Now, in healing, if you don't receive right away, or you're having a hard time believing, or you're working through a hardened heart, probably in some areas. And what happens is we get offended. We get offended at God, or we get offended at somebody. We get offended at ourselves. What is an offense? Anybody know? Real quick. An offense.
Something that hurts.
What is it? Let's define it. Huh?
A wrong.
A wrong. That's right. A wrong, that's right. Huh. I got to be clear on the microphone here. An offense, literally, in the Greek, means a stumbling block, a snare, a trap that we fall into. And what happens is we get offended and we live our life around that offense. And what that offense does, it causes us to make a judgment. What's a judgment? Anybody? Matthew 7, 1 and 2. Judge not that you be not judged. Even the world knows this.
It's an opinion.
The world knows this. You're on the right track. Judgment is a judicial decision that I make in my heart. I have decided God is guilty. He hasn't healed me. People are guilty for doing this to me. And that's why I'm still sick or still disabled. And we've gotten offended and we've made a judgment. And we've hardened our hearts through that. That is a part of reaping from a judgment. Okay? That would be Luke 6, verse 37. One more. And there's more. There's more areas that develop a hardened heart. But this is it for today. When we believe that we are unloved. This is a big one. God doesn't love me. Now, I had a terrible past. And if anybody would think God didn't love them because of what they did, it should be me. I'm probably not the only one in here. But I know God loves me. You know how I know?
Because He gave you Jesus.
Gave me Jesus. Gave Jesus for me. Wow. What an exchange. Romans 8, verses 38-39 says, nothing will separate us from the love of God. And it's talking about those who are in Jesus, who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Romans 8, verses 38-39. Once we know we're loved, it softens the heart to be able to receive. And the love is unconditional. There's no strings attached. It's not if you do or if you are or if you believe or if you say the right things or do the right things or make your confessions or take your authority the way you need to. The basis of love is God because He is love. And He loves you and me. Period. There's no buts, no what ifs on this at all. If you don't feel or know that you're loved, it helps develop a hardened heart. Now, Some people can believe for particular areas of healing and not others. Easy to believe for a cancer. Easy to believe for arthritis. Easy to believe for those things. And not a head cold. Because your heart's hardened. In that area. Okay, it's softened in the other areas. It's sensitive, but hardened in that area. Some can believe that God heals partially. Not fully. That's because the heart's hardened in that area. Some believe that God heals other people. I just had this the other day with somebody. God heals everybody when I pray for them, but me. I can't receive. But I can get other people healed. Well, that's because your heart is hardened in that particular area. You develop that. Now, those are some of the things that we believe. There's those that believe that somebody has a special anointing. If I just get to that person, I'll be healed. Man, you can receive healing all by yourself on your own. You can have anybody pray for you, and they don't even have to do it perfectly, and you can receive healing. It's where your heart's at. Is your heart softened up? Is it? Have you let it become soft? The results of a hardened heart and keeping your heart hardened to the truth of the word are death, sickness, and disease, or repetitive cycles of disability or issues. All right? It's one or the other. That's the result of keeping our heart hard. So here's our self-exam. You all know that we have to look at ourselves when we have a hardened heart, right? Because all of us have a hardened heart in some area that God is working on and by degree is healing and softening. All of us do. Nobody's left out of this equation, not even me. Okay? Can we admit that? We just knocked the pride down. Right? Okay. Our struggle with a hard heart or the hardness in our heart, whatever degree it is, has to do very directly with the quality and the quantity of time that we spend in relationship with the Lord. This is the correlation. Okay? The softening of our heart is directly related to the quality and the quantity of time we spend with Him. In prayer, in worship, in praying in tongues, in the Word and study and reaching out and just worshiping or song or praising Him. It has to do with that. Okay? My questions to you in this area that we need to ask ourselves is, do I really believe the Word is true? Is there any area that we have hardened to regarding healing or any other promise from God? Is there anything that we're hardened to? These are the things we have to ask ourselves. Okay? I can't tell you. The Holy Spirit can get this zero right in on this with you. Is there any sickness or disease or malfunction that you believe is too big or too far gone or too involved for the Lord where we've limited Him? Are your senses or your emotions controlling or hardening you? Is your relationship with Him a marriage, a union, or a part-time? Kind of a part-time gig. Is your relationship with Him surrendered or self-centered? Now, I've got 1 minute left. You want freedom from a hardened heart? You want to know how to do it? Number one, once the Holy Spirit points out an area of hardness, you have to admit that you've got it and change your thinking. That's repentance. And change your thinking according to the Word. Number two, you've got to get the Word of God regarding healing by grace through faith in Him in your heart. This is a purposeful thing. It means you're going to take some action and do something, not just sit. Number three, pray in tongues. When you don't know what to pray, if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, get baptized in the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. Pray in tongues, and the Holy Spirit will pray for you in those areas that you don't know what to pray regarding getting your heart softened up and receiving your healing. Next, spend some time fasting. Whoa, I don't want to do that one. Fasting gets the doubt out, softens the heart, all right? The Lord will do the softening, but you have to let Him. You have to let Him work. These are tools to use. These are how to identify hardness in the heart so that we can simply receive. And these are the tools to use for how we do this. But we have to understand how this works in us. All right? All right. Thank you, everybody. In Jesus' name, we call you healed, set freed, hearts made whole, softened up, receiving the word and receiving your healings. Now, in Jesus' name, this is a done deal. Thank you, Lord. Amen.